everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Roost Podcast. As always, I am Carter Spires, here with my co-host Matthew Bartlett, the founder and managing editor of The Roost, your premier source for Rice sports news and analysis. Well, we hope you all have been enjoying our extended off-season interview series so far. It's been quite extended at this point. We've been going for almost 3 months, so...
And we're still going.
Fairly extended, but we've been having a lot of fun with it so far, and we really hope y'all are too with these episodes. We do have our repeat guest on tonight. It's Rice football alum and now current Denver Broncos defensive lineman Christian Covington. How are you, man?
I am excellent. Very good to be back. I feel honored, really.
Yeah, where does this stack up in all-time accolades? I know, you know, NFL draft was pretty cool, but, you know, the first ever returning guest. That's a lot of pressure.
It's top five for me. Definitely top two, top 10. You know, I do have a couple things family related, so I know they'd be mad if they ever heard this. So, yeah, y'all, like, you know, I got love for y'all.
We don't have to name names. Like, yeah, we'll take pretty that. Good for me.
Yeah.
That's too funny. Well, since we talked to you last, we introduced you current Denver Bronco. Have you had the chance to talk to or see any of your teammates in person, or has this all been kind of a virtual, online dating kind of thing?
Honestly, the screen fatigue is real at this point. There have been a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of Zoom in general. It feels like whether I'm at a Zoom meeting right now or whether literally time is zooming by us all at this point due to boredom with quarantine. It's been kind of interesting, but it's been great getting to know some guys. It's been awesome getting to, you know, reacquaint myself with a lot of former teammates too. From my time in Houston and honestly during my time at Rice too, with a lot of Rice alums on this Broncos team. So you know, I can't wait to get up to Denver, whenever that case may be.
Yeah, kind of convenient. Y'all just flock together, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, we got the whole parliament going on right now. Parliament owls right now. So we starting something.
Well, that's awesome. The purpose of us having you back on tonight is so we've had our conversations on these pods so far have gone in various wide-ranging directions, but actually one of the most fun we had was regrettably after we stopped recording on Christian's initial appearance on the podcast, and we were just talking about Marvel movies and superheroes and Spider-Man and some things. And so what we thought is that we would get Christian back on here and just devote a whole episode to that kind of thing, but we decided to go with the specific format. We're going to take the 23 movies that are currently part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we are going to draft them between the three of us to see if we what we can put together out of that and the discussion that comes out of it. So we Christian has been assigned the first overall pick as our guest on the show, and then I rolled a die for the remaining order. So it'll be Matt with the second pick, and then me with the third, and then we'll go in snake draft order there through seven rounds, and then we'll have two left over at the end. But unless there's any go ahead.
Well, I was just going to clarify, so are we gonna we'll put this out on the podcast afterwards, we'll pull a vote, and your movie marathon day, like what's the payoff here?
I think we got to put it to a poll, and then the eternal glory of bragging rights to whoever team gets voted good. Number one.
And you know, we have some time since we're in quarantine, so maybe we we'll all just commit to watching the winners movies. We could do a lot worse.
Man, this first overall pick's gonna be hard.
Yeah. Woo! All right. So how much time do we want to assign for each pick?
I mean, I say 30 seconds, honestly.
30 right, so, to a so minute. So mull it over, but make your choice. And
be like, you got to be quick on your toes. And I mean, it's the discussion part will come after. But to actually to be able to come up with that movie, it's really got to be something from the heart.
Yeah. We can pause for discussion after each pick, but the process itself is going to be fairly quick. All right. So Christian, you are on the clock.
Okay, on the clock. First overall, Shoot, it might be, this might be a little off-putting to some. Okay, well, my first overall, I know people might not agree totally, but my first pick overall is going to be Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
Okay. Not Endgame.
Not Endgame.
I had Infinity War above Endgame on my on my board.
I respect that, but the end of your movie, everyone in sad.
And part that is why. See, that's the thing. The emotional toll it had on people is something that you just don't really like. You really just don't see that with a lot of like superhero movies. You know, you have the cliche. When it doesn't matter what superhero movie you're coming from, you watch. There's always the cliche, just like, you know, good guys versus bad guys, you know, climactic, you know, battle in the end. And at the end of the day, good guys always win. And this is like the first movie where you truly got to encompass and see like everybody truly come together. And actually, you know, you saw everybody across the board in the MCU truly come together and, you know, team up to try to fight this one foe. And just one by one, you saw Thanos literally destroy every single group that tried to go toe-to-toe with them. And then you get to the very end and you think, oh, here comes Thor. Thor to save. And then should have went for the head.
Yeah, it's so, like, so I like, love it.
And then, after you, Carter.
It's just, like, it's so, like, first of all, you have to know it's coming. Because you like... Even before you watch, like, you know it's coming out in two parts. You know there's going to be an immediate sequel. So you have to figure, like, it ends on kind of a cliffhanger, right? So, like, you pretty much can know coming into it, even, you know, seeing it the first time, that Thanos is gonna win in this one. Mm-hmm. And even after that, you know that, like, it's not permanent, right? Like, you know that they're going to come back, that they're going to find a way to fix it. Sure. But, like, the emotional impact that it has watching it despite that, yes. Like you know what's going to happen and you know what's going to get fixed, but like in that moment, like every time you watch it, like when Thor hits him with the axe at the end, like you're rooting so bad for it to come out right and it doesn't. And like it's still like, I don't know, to me, like when I watched Endgame in the theater, like, I don't know, it was very cathartic. Like it was very like, there are lots of great, like, I don't know. Endgame is basically all fan service. Like, yeah. It's a lot of moments where you're just like, oh my God, this is so incredible. And like, it was great watching it in the theater, but like, when you rewatch Endgame, it's like, you know, you see it for what it is in that respect. Whereas I feel like Infinity War holds up on repeat viewings a lot better.
Absolutely. And that, for me too, when I saw it in theaters for the first time, as you said, like you know that Thanos is technically, you know, he's gonna win. You know that, you know, Endgame is coming. Even people knew the title was gonna be Endgame before it even got announced. To me, one of the shocking things that really started to affect me while watching it was when he did snap and when he did go through that portal, and then you start seeing everybody start turning to dust, and it's the characters that get taken away. That you truly did not expect. Like, to me, the one that killed me was when you saw T'Challa putting his hand out to Okoye, and it's like, hey, there's no place to die. And then he reached, and then he's the one that technically dies. I saw that, and I felt like I got an arrow to the heart. I'm just like, oh, Russo brothers, what are you doing to me right now? So that, like, just like stuff like that, where you see like certain key characters just taken away in that split second. It's just like, oh, they did a great job. They did a fantastic job setting this up for this next movie.
Well, you're not going to lose the draft by taking Infinity War. I don't think you went too far out on a limb right there.
No. All right. In the interest of moving things along, we'll go on to Matt for the second overall pick. You are on the clock.
So at this point, and Christian, you hit on it, and Carter, you did too. It's kind of just cathartic fan service, but fans like things, and so I'm going to take Endgame.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have been fine with Infinity War or Endgame, and I have a couple options that I'd like for after Carter picks, but I feel like, you know, Endgame is the cinematic end of one of the greatest movie series, arguably, of all time. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be a good choice.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. it was such a like it like I don't know, it has flaws that I think are become apparent the moment you like start to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like not that time travel in movies is ever wholly logical, but like its version in particular is a little
this
like
this is a Rice podcast.
Wait, like how does that work now? But yeah, I think that moment of the experience of seeing Endgame in the theater, I think it wrapped up really perfectly from kind of an emotional standpoint, everything we had kind of wanted getting to the end of this 20
the whole experience sequence. And like the Thanos demand your silence thing, like I can't remember another movie that I've seen that was hyped up to such a degree. Mm-hmm. And like you watch it, and especially like if you like love Marvel movies, you watch it and you're like, you're entertained, but you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much here that's not right. Like you're like, you can pick out, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you watch it and you're like, I see all these flaws and I don't like all of it, but like in totality, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And so like, that's kind of what it is. Like, I don't think it might not even the best or the second best like movie, but for what it is, like
for what it is, like what it actually did to actually complete like this journey that we've been on for over 10 years. Like, yeah, it's
right.
No job. Yeah. Well done.
If I could pick a Marvel movie to watch right now, it probably wouldn't be Endgame, but having it in my cinema, my box office combined, it absolutely will be good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could see that. All right. Well, it's my pick, and I'm not even going to start the timer because I can't believe this is still on the board for me at the number 3 overall pick, but I'm going Thor Ragnarok.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
I think it's just like a straight up masterpiece. Like it's so funny. And I love Taika Waititi. So like everything he touches turns to gold for me basically. But like, and it just like, it gets like, I don't know. It perfectly manages like what Chris Hemsworth had made that character into over, you know, however many movies he's been in the series at Forrest. I guess it's like 4 at this point. And so it got him and let him be really funny and really embody that character in that way. But it also let Thor be this like really incredible badass in the way that he kind of needs to be at times. So I don't know. I like in terms of like quality as a movie from, you know, from like a holistic perspective, I think it's probably the best or second best movie in the whole series. And if it's number 2, then it's behind my number 4 pick, which is Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Interesting. I agree with what you said on Ragnarok. Like as far as a rewatchability piece of the comedy, the drama, the action, the character development, all in there. It's just it's a movie I'll turn on at any moment. So
yeah,
I'm completely cool with that pick.
Mm-hmm. You guys said it all here. You guys said it all. I ain't got to add any more to it.
And then Winter Soldier is like, I'm not even particularly attached to Steve or Bucky as characters and their relationship in the way that like a lot of people are. But like, it's just such a good movie. Like it embodies the principle that I think both of these things I've just picked do, which is like, I think the series is at its best when they let the directors have a little more creative freedom to kind of bend these into genres that's not just like big budget action movie. Like Winter Soldier is like a spy thriller basically. Mm-hmm. And I love it when they let them have that freedom to kind of bend these into other genres and other styles and let those influences show. And I think Winter Soldier is probably the best example of that.
No, honestly, for me, Winter Soldier is up there for me of my all time. This is definitely, it's my top 3. It's in my top 3 of all Marvel movies.
Wow.
Yeah, it's up there for me. It's actually one. It's my favorite out of all the, out of the, it's, yeah, the out of the Captain Marvel, the Captain America trilogy is my favorite out of the 3. And I just really just love how, like, just from the get-go, as you said, it's really a spy thriller, how they did it, how they pieced everything together. You know, straight up from the beginning, how they're trying to kill off Nick Fury. You truly get to see the downfall of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how rooted Hydra really was from the beginning. So, like, you know, even when you get that, when they're in that, him and when Captain America and Natasha are in that little bunker and they see Dr. Hans?
Zola.
My bad.
Yeah.
When they see him and he actually gives a whole backstory as to like, oh, no, we've been, you cut off one head, more appear. I'm just like, this is real. Like, this is literally like, you truly get to see that war between Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. And then also what sold me was like the fight scenes that you saw between, you know, Bucky and him. Like that night, one he is able to twirl the knife and like, and going against Eve, like that is one of my favorite like fight scenes.
It probably has the best fight choreography.
Yeah, that choreography was like,
and like the elevator scene
is one of the best in the series.
See, this is interesting because, and I agree, the points all you made of the good things about it, that's all very true. But I have this last on my list of Captain America movies, and I wouldn't have taken it till round three, maybe four. And I think it has some elements of kind of what y'all are saying. It's so unique in the kind of movie and how it portrays the characters. It's very much so not the stereotypical superhero Marvel, you know, storyline. It doesn't fit as cookie cutter and with, you know, a lot of the other ones. It's different. And I like the formula and not genericness of the Marvel storyline enough that like it was out there for me. So I get it. I would have came before I thought about it, but you know, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's your pick now. So the fifth overall pick, you are on the board. The clock has begun.
See, this is interesting. Now I have to wait two movies. Being in the middle has it's good and it's bad on both sides. And I think I'm gonna have to go with Iron Man.
Okay.
Reason being, I feel like that is the movie that kind of put Marvel on the map. And as far as iconicness of the Marvel, you know, milieu of characters, like Iron Man is so polarizing because you love him or you hate him, but you cheer for him the entire time. And the development of him from Iron Man all the way to Endgame, like as far as character developments, that's got to be one of the best in modern movies. And so bookending that with, you start with Iron Man, you finish it with Endgame, it's no brainer.
Yeah, you can definitely make the argument that the whole of the Infinity Saga, as you will, is kind of Tony Stark's story. And when you view it in that lens, like it's definitely, you know, Iron Man has to, the original movie has to be viewed as a huge part of that. And also, like, I just remember coming out of, like, that movie came out the summer between, it was 2008, so it was the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. And I remember both it and The Dark Knight came out that summer. Mm-hmm. I remember loving both of those movies, but, like, I don't know, that gets into more of a comparison of the two of them. It's not really relevant, but, like,
we're not doing a DC draft for a reason.
I just remember coming out of Iron Man and being like, holy crap, that was awesome. And like, I don't think you get that same feeling of watching it now because it's been sort of one-upped in so many ways by the subsequent movies. But like at the time, compared to any other superhero movie, really, so many of them that had been released at that point, it was so different and it was so much fun and so like, I don't know. It made you feel like, holy crap, they're good at, like, they've got this. Like, they've got this figured out. Like, it was really an exhilarating movie to watch and to come out of the theater for.
No, watching that movie, actually, it was the first time since, actually, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man that I truly went and saw, like, a Marvel movie where I'm just like, okay, like, I'm sold. I'm invested. Like, I want to see more of this.
Like, and it holds up.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's a what are we, 12-year-old movie now? Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, I'm picking here in the top five. I'd rather watch it than movies that have come out in the past 5 years with all of the special effects and development we've had since that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it holds up in a lot of ways. Even if it doesn't offer that same excitement that it once did, like it's still a really enjoyable watch. I certainly have it above either of the other two Iron Man movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Yeah,
those 100%. Are near the bottom. we might not get to those for a while.
Yeah. All right, Christian, you have the next two picks.
Okay. I already got, as far as like saving time, I can go quick with these. My first next pick for me is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. Oh, that was the other one I was toying
good
with.
Choice.
And then my next one is going to be, I'll give like brief explanations about them like right after, but Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, and then after that, Avengers.
Ah, yeah.
The original Avengers.
Original Avengers, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. For me, Guardians of the Galaxy, it really, I feel like it took the complete Marvel fandom by surprise. This is a movie that got announced back then, and everybody was just like, huh? Like, what are we? This is the direction Marvel's going. We're going, okay.
Yeah, like, it's starring who?
Yeah, it's like
okay. Who are these characters?
And for me, like, I gotta be honest with you, when this movie got announced, I truly was just like, I've heard Star-Lord brief, like maybe once, like, you know, with these Marvel like video games and whatnot, or like maybe got it mentioned in Marvel Ultimate Alliance or something like that back in the day. But like, that's a big maybe. Everybody else, I'm just like, I don't know who these people are. So I had to do my research on it. I literally had to go Google. I'm just like, okay. I'm like, this is interesting. This is, you know, this is a whole new world of Marvel that we're venturing down into. So that movie came out. And I think just because of the fact that there are so many unknowns to how it was going to go, how James Gunn was going to do his thing with his, you know, have his vision enter into the MCU and that whole Marvel format. Truly, there were no expectations, really, as to how this was going to go. And so I feel like it just blew everything out of the water. Just the whole wacky array of how different every single one of these Guardians are. I love Michael Rourke's portrayal of Yondu. He was just that one of my he's one of my favorite mm-hmm. Marvel characters in the entire MCU, because his story arc is just fantastic as well. But for me, that was just really, it was like the shock. It was a shock factor that just had, it was, nobody really knew what to expect, and it was still such an amazing movie. As far as Avengers is concerned, that's OG. That's just, it's, we've been literally building up, all these previous movies have been building up with the post-credit scenes, with everything in between, up to this point, and they introduced it fantastically. Honestly, for me though, I have one criticism, but I don't want to talk about that right now. We'll get to it once once that pick comes up. So yeah, I'll go into it further. But yeah, those are my two.
Yeah, no, both very worthy of top seven selections. Guardians, like you said, is just like kind of came out like this was the one, like this was the heat check, right? Like, it's okay, we've done all these established characters, and like, yeah, sure, Black Widow and Hawkeye were maybe not as popular, but neither of them had kind of taken a central role. And so you're really building on Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and Hulk, who are like Marvel's most central properties even before this. Like, so, you know, you had some kind of built-in cachet with those, but like for Guardians to just say like, yeah, we're making a movie about these weird space characters that like, and like, I was more aware of comics than the vast majority of people. And I, you know, I didn't really read them at the time. Not certainly not the way I do now or the way I did when I was like 6-7 years old in the 90s. But like, I was not aware of these characters like really at all. And
that's kind of part of for me of what made it like, it is so iconically Marvel, and this was the number one movie on my board, and I was I thought I might be able to sneak it back, but like you said, Christian, like it everything about it, and it proved that Marvel and this series, it's good at what it does, and it knows how to develop stories and characters and put everything together, and it doesn't need any, like, there are, like, Chris Pratt is one of my favorite actors of all time, so that helps its case, but it didn't need an Iron Man, you know, to carry it, or, you know, a Captain America. It's like, let's pick Star-Lord and Nebula and a guy who can only say one word at a time. And
band misfits.
Right.
Yeah, and then for Avengers, like, you know, in some ways, it's really the proof of concept movie more so than Iron Man was. Like, it was that, you know, not only have we made all these movies and they've all been fairly successful, but like, we're going to create this shared thing, the shared universe, to make it truly like a comic book in some ways, where these characters all have their own movies and their own stories and their own villains, and they're all doing their own things, but that you can have them kind of intersect, and that it all works beautifully when they do. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just such an, like, it's one of those movies that's just like, oh crap, Avengers is on, like, I guess I'm watching Avengers for the next 2 hours. Like, it's so, I don't know, like, I like Joss Whedon's work, so I really enjoy the, like, fast-paced, quippy kind of style with all the jokes and stuff, and still, like, just in terms of goosebumps moments, like, when they're all together in the battle, and it pans the camera around them, is blasting the theme, like, that scene still gives me goosebumps. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that, I don't know. It was in the exact same way that Iron Man was. It was a movie that you came out of the theater and you were like, holy crap, I can't believe I just watched that.
And maybe an unexpected perk at the very end, while they're having that big battle scene. And I'm trying to remember, somebody gets blasted and gets pummeled into the ground right in front of the shawarma shop. And they cut to that in the end credits.
Mm. Yeah.
my mother-in-law saw that and got into a big shawarma kit, and just like, we had shawarma like frequently after that, and it's fantastic. It's very good food, so it improved my dietary, you know, range.
All right, Matt, you are on the board with you are on the clock with the 8th overall pick.
All right, man, this shouldn't be this hard, but it is this hard. I'm going to go ahead and go with Captain America, the First Avenger. Ooh. I feel like I'm building out fairly I don't know what to call it, like the OG of the Marvel movies, kind of setting the stage to build it all back. There's a couple other ones that are maybe more you know, on the edge. Maybe I'm playing it too safe, but I feel like rounding it out with as long as I get some good ones in the middle that have a bit more flair. you can't like, there's nothing wrong with the First Avenger and Captain America. He's, you know, he's a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a very like,
it's not gonna, it's hard for me.
Yeah, it's hard for me to point to a moment of that. It was like, oh, like, that was such a great scene, or like, I really loved that sequence. But like, it's just a good, solid movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know if I have a lot more to say about it than that. It's just good. I like it. It's very entertaining. All right, I have the 9th and 10th picks. Oh. So I am going to go with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Ooh, okay.
And Black Panther.
Ooh, dang.
Also, okay. Black Panther, another one especially that I am very glad to get this late.
Man.
Far From Home is, you know, the more I have thought about the MCU Spider-Man movies themselves and the choices of how they have worked with the character, the more kind of misgivings I have about it especially as I have become more and more of a comics devotee over the last year plus. But, you know, the fact remains that Tom Holland is easily the best actor who has been Spider-Man in live action. He has done the character so well in so many ways. And Far From Home just gives him really great range with it. It kind of lets Peter come into his own as a hero a little bit, which is something I enjoy as someone who's never been super excited about the concept of Spider-Man as this rookie hero who is like the mentee. So I'm excited for him to take a more kind of central role as the movies, as this universe goes forward. And yeah, it's just, and then of course, like, you get the cameo at the end with J.K. Simmons as
Jameis,
which is just like the best choice they could have made.
Yes,
like, absolutely. There was no other option as long as he was willing to do that. So I was very happy with that.
And then you heard the report that it came out that he's already signed up for multiple Spider-Man movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, perfect. Perfect.
Thank you. Like, thank you for that.
Like, chef's kiss. And then Black Panther. I think you can say probably, first of all, one of the most memorable villains of the MCU. Like, you know, when you have a whole buildup of like people on social media who will just like casually throw out Killmonger was right. Like, it considering that that's been a big criticism of these movies as a whole, is that like outside of Loki and probably Thanos, like a lot of the villains are pretty forgettable. Mm-hmm. And so I think a huge strength of Black Panther is that, like, you know, whether or not you can question the wisdom of the people who do, like, when you have people siding with a villain, that usually means it's a well-written villain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, that's a great pick this late.
Yeah, to me, yeah, you hit it on the nail with Far From Home. Yeah, it's one of... Yeah, I can't wait to see what they do with Spider-Man in the future with the MCU. Honestly, Tom Holland to me has been doing a great, great job. You know, to me, you know, Tobey Maguire is always going to be the OG. Always going to be the OG. But I mean, to actually see like Spider-Man, you know, as this, you know, as a kid, really, who's truly like, you truly get to see Spider-Man, you know, coming into his own, like high schooler, you know, still, you know, growing, going through, having to go through, you know, puberty technically, and at the same time growing into his newfound powers, and to me, Far From Home, you truly, this, I can't wait till they actually say the word spidey sense, but like
spidey,
it was funny. But to me, like, the scenes with him and Mysterio, very nostalgic of like the animated Spider-Man.
To me, the big Mysterio sequence was so good.
To me, that's what sold me on, like, you know what they're doing. I have complete and total faith in what they're going to do with Spider-Man going into the future, because to me, that's what sold me, especially with the, Jake Gyllenhaal did a fantastic job of playing of his role of Mysterio. And then that whole Spidey sense sequence of him going against Mysterio at the very end, that gave me goosebumps to actually truly see him, like, coming into his own. Fantastic work. And Black Panther, man, like, you hit it on the nail, man. Eric Killmonger, one of the few villains that you truly, like, you know what? Tweak his plan a little bit, and he actually had the right idea. Like, I was kind of punching myself a little bit, where I'm just, like, watching that movie, I'm like, shoot, man, he's actually making valid points.
Right.
Being a man of color myself, like, you do see like he does make some points with regards to, you know, that help that could have, you know, that could have helped, that help that Wakanda could have for, you know, for their brothers and sisters around the world. Like, it does make sense. You know, he just did it. You know, it was that chaotic aspect to it that was just like, a little too far with it now. But no, very, no, I'm jealous of your picks.
And I remember watching that in the theaters, and I don't remember what the runtime. It's like 2 hours and like 20 minutes or something like that. It's long, but not too long. And I remember kind of just looking at my watch the whole time, and I'm like, and we're like, whatever it was, there's like, I'm like, oh, this movie is 20 minutes left. And like, they're starting the end fight scene. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like, and I'm like, and they went like 3 hours with Endgame. And I'm like, and I understand, like, the 3 hour movie, we're kind of past that in general, but I'm like, man, if you could have like given me 10 more minutes, cause it was so good. Mm-hmm. Like the old school, like ritualistic one-on-one mano-a-mano combat. And then throwing that in with like alien technology. I was like, this is gold.
Yeah. All right, well, Matt, you are back on the clock with the 11th pick.
I have this one. I don't need 30 seconds.
All right.
This was the one I was debating with earlier, and I'm going with Doctor Strange.
Dang it.
Oh, okay.
And okay. Good one. I think good, this was good a good one. Snag this late. I think it's at this point in the sequence of movies, like, we knew what the Infinity Stones were to a degree, that there were things that were powerful, But I feel like this is the first movie that me watching it, you know, as a novice observer of things went through. I'm like, oh, there's a rock that does special things. And like somehow that is going to be really big in everything that happens. And Benedict Cumberbatch is a phenomenal actor. So all those things together and everything they do with it, like it is one of it's a top five movie for me. I'll watch it anytime it's on.
Okay. That's a bit higher than I had Doctor Strange, but I think it's probably one that I underrate personally. Like it was definitely like late enough in the process that it was like, I don't know. In some ways, it's kind of a pretty generic origin story, which is, I think, why I don't come back to it as often. But like one Benedict Cumberbatch as Stephen Strange is like one of the most picture perfect castings in the entire. And like it's just like the moment they announced his casting, I was like, yep, that fits. That's like it's almost hard to imagine it really being anyone else because like.
Well, when we talk about Marvel kind of like proving that like they're just good at this, like. A cape is a central piece of like, like they're like, all right, we can pick random people. Like, let's just pick an inanimate object and make it a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah. And like the whole, like visually it's one of the most, that's part of why Ragnarok is such a high pick for me because it just looks gorgeous and it's so colorful and distinctive.
Yes.
And Doctor Strange has a lot of that. Like they did with the spell casting and the mystical stuff. And when they're in, you know, like weird dimensions and all that stuff, like it's very distinctive visually in a way that some of these movies are not. And I think that's a huge strength.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, Christian, you are on the clock with the 12th and 13th picks.
Okay. So my 12th pick is going to be Civil War. Captain America Civil War. And my 13th pick, this was hard for me. I'm just, you know what, but I'm just going to go out. I'm going to pick Ant-Man.
Oh,
okay.
I'm going to pick Ant-Man for that one. So Civil War for me, it's, again, the whole Captain America trilogy for me was fantastic. Loved every single movie of it. For me, it was number two. Winter Soldiers has got my heart. But Civil War, for me, when I saw the trailer for the first time, and then we all got that huge surprise at the very end when you saw you saw a web take Captain America's shield. I flipped out because nobody was expecting that for Sony and Marvel to come up with that low deal to see Spider-Man. So that really sold me with my love for this movie. You hate to see friends fighting. You hate to see any type of, you know, war break out between, you know, this group called the Avengers, man. It was kind of just disheartening to actually see it. And then the very end to just know what role the Winter Soldier did play into this movie. It's like, yeah, you feel for Tony, man. He's been through a lot.
And the tension felt so real. Like, you knew, like, okay, it's not going to, like, they're not going to split forever. But, like, when they were fighting, you're like, they're going to kill each other.
Yeah, it's like, it was real. It's like, to me, it's like, that was, you truly saw the love that Tony had. You know, maybe not for Howard. You know, I mean, obviously, we can go all day with that whole father-son relationship that they had. But. You know, the love that he had for his mother, man, like it hit home. Hey, I'm a mama's boy. I'm proud of it too. And for Steve to talk to him the way he was, it's like, you know, it wasn't him. It's like, I don't care. He killed my mom. Like, oh my, bro, that hit home for me. Ant-Man for me too. It's one of those ones where, you know the character, like a lot of people, you're probably just wondering, like, okay, how are they going to make this work? How are they going to make this work with the mold that the MCU is going with regards to their movie, the movies that they've been making? Love Paul Rudd playing Scott Lang, man. I think he did that
fantastic.
Did such a perfect job. Did such a great overall job with the character. The comedic elements that were added to this movie, especially with Louise, one of the best side characters. And I mean, I hate the term side character, one of the best characters, one of my favorite characters in all of the MCU, the way his storytelling just brings you in. It traps you and just makes you one of this. Okay. I need to hear more. Cause this is just comedic gold. There's a hard pick for me, but, Ant-Man's up there just the way the way that they introduced this character.
And it's so underrated. And especially the fact that, like, without Ant-Man, like, this series has no resolution. Like, he is arguably the most important character to the completion of the saga. Like, it's just so funny because he's literally a little piece that is the key to everything.
Yeah. Ant-Man is one that I sometimes forget about. And then I think about watching it. And it was like, it's actually a really entertaining movie. Like the whole sequence of like Michael Peña's character when he's like, when he's telling this, like that's, it's, you really see if you're a fan of Edgar Wright's other movies, like the stamps that he left on that before leaving the movie and being replaced, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like that this movie's probably a lot higher on the list if Edgar Wright does the whole thing, but like, it's one that I sort of forget about sometimes, and it's actually really entertaining when you go back to it. And then Civil War is another one for me that I think has moves up my board the more I go back to it. I was initially very hesitant about it because it's based on a comic event that was an absolute flaming piece of trash.
How like do you really feel, Carter?
The original Civil War is just not good. It's very bad. Very, very bad. And so I was skeptical going in, and then I'm general, like, I absolutely hate the trope of anytime you get superheroes together, they have to decide to fight each other before they can team up. And when that turns into whole events based on the fact that the superheroes are fighting, it annoys me. But like you're absolutely, like, it's such a great introduction to their version of Spider-Man. Like, I was sold on Tom Holland as the character after 10 minutes of watching him. So, like, everything about his presence in that movie, even though it's just, like, 15 minutes, is gold.
Oh, it was.
And the more I go back to watching it, like, the final fight sequence is really, really well done. And the motivations in it feel a little more real and a little more justified than a lot of times it does when you have this trope of superheroes being forced to fight each other. Yeah, it works the more I go back to it. So
yeah, and it's one of the ones that, especially with the entire story arc, you know, wrapped up, so to speak, like that's one that I'll watch at any point because I'm like, I love all of these characters and they're all in one movie and there's a big fight scene, like let's go.
All right, Matt, you are on the clock with the 14th pick.
All right, I kind of expected this one to go before its sequel, but I'm going to go with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ah, that was tops left on my board.
Yeah, I kind of figured. And I think, honestly, this is kind of maybe a break of, you know, from this point onward, or maybe one or two movies. There's kind of like an upper tier of maybe you want to call 14, 15 of these movies that I really, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I feel really good snagging this one this late, especially with... And when Christian, when you were on the pod last time, how long did we talked like 20 minutes of Spider-Man just immediately after we stopped recording. So and that's kind of what, okay, now we have to bring you back on so we can talk more. So I feel like being able to get that one in the fifth round this late, that's pretty good value.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's good. It's just fun. Like Tom Holland has such a natural charisma and he works so well as the character that he's such a, I don't know, he in a lot of ways, like he fits the character so well in that he's like bumbling and goofy and awkward, like as Peter Parker. But like once he's in the mask and in the suit, he has this kind of swagger almost, and he's like cracking jokes and quipping at people and whatnot. And there's like a, I don't know, it's just such a, it's really a joy to watch him as the character. And even if, like, I don't know, there's not a lot of individual sequences in Homecoming that I think back to and I'm like, oh, that's a really great moment. That's a really great sequence. But it's really enjoyable to watch Tom Holland as the character.
What about when it's revealed that Elizabeth's dad is Michael?
Yeah. Michael Keaton is one of the best parts of that movie.
Again, also like a
villain that makes you think like, he's kind of got a point, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And totally funny because like, it's such a weird, an odd take on the Vulture, who in the comics is like, I don't know, an old bitter man who's a mechanical genius and just is like a bank robber and is a fun character in his own ways, but is a kind of a very generic comic book villain in certain ways. And that was a very unique spin on Adrian Toomes. Yes. And it worked in a way that I kind of did not expect it to, like when they announced Michael Keaton. You're getting the sense like how they're establishing as a villain. I was a little skeptical, but like it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty good launching point, like especially with when they've done this with the Spider-Man movies, Far From Home, Homecoming. It was at the point where they get to the homecoming scene and he's giving him, you know, the dad talk, right, in the car. And you're just like, all right, the coming of age kind of sequence. And you're like, oh, Spider-Man is going from little kid to you're a real superhero now. Like, it wasn't that simple, but it was like, okay, you've officially been inducted into the canon of Marvel heroes that are big time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, so I have the 15th and 16th picks. I am gonna go.
Now it's crunch time.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether to stick to the board or call an audible here. So I'm gonna stick to the board with 15 and go with Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Ooh.
And then 16, I'm gonna go with Guardians 2.
Darg.
So Captain Marvel is another one I think that in some ways falls into the tropes of being kind of a generic origin story, which is why it's not super high on my board, why it's still here at number 15. But I think I really liked Brie Larson in that role and the way she embodies kind of just the absolute natural confidence. And like, yes, I'm a badass and I know it.
Yes.
That you have to kind of have for Carol Danvers and the way the way she works as that character in that movie, I think is probably the best part about it. And then also you get Samuel L. Jackson as like a younger, slightly unsure Nick Fury, I think is a real highlight of that movie. And then just like the all of the silliness that is Goose, I can't even remember the name for the species now, but the, you know, galactic monster cat.
Flurkin?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a solid one. It's not like, it's not one of the best movies in the series, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like Captain Marvel the entire character just got like hastily thrown onto the end to tie all the pieces together. And I'm like, man, I don't know if putting it earlier in the series of movies would have helped me with it.
Yeah.
And kind of mixing it in. But the fact that like she came out of nowhere, like literally it's her character. She came out of nowhere and then she's here and then she's fighting Thanos to end the world. I'm like, okay, I need like, here's like a 1 year like introductory period. Like you gave me like a decade with Iron Man. Like I need a little bit more time.
Yeah. No, especially with a character as powerful as she is, I feel like honestly.
Exactly. That was the thing.
A lot of people would have been more receptive to the film if they could have done it, you know, chronologically earlier in the place in that MCU timeline. For me, I love Brie Larson's take on it, honestly. Like I love the fact that she was just overflowing with confidence. And you know, people, I don't know why, I really don't know why people like don't really like her at that in that role. I'm just like, look, I feel like she played that role perfectly. Like to me, what else do you want from like a soldier who's had her memory wiped? You know, she's not gonna be just like aloof and she's like all this, like, no, she's gonna be, you know, serious to the point, and she's basically on a mission with whatever she has to do. And she, I felt like she was on point like the entire movie. Could have been like, overall speaking, I feel like I love the twist what they did with, you know, thinking everybody was against the Skrulls, and then all of a sudden, oh, Statue of the Creed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something. No, overall, I enjoy that movie. I really do enjoy that movie. I feel like in jail, yeah, as you said, if we maybe were introduced to her in a previous time slot, I feel like it would have been received a lot better.
Yeah, that's the one thing with superhero. Longer build up.
Yes.
You can't have the most powerful hero come in at the last moment and save the day. And that kind of felt like that's what was happening. Like the movie itself, like it was entertaining and it was really good. And I like the cutaway and the little promo before it of her little beeper coming up. And you're like, ooh, this is new. This is interesting. Like they built it up really well. But I was just like, I need more than just here she is. Ta-da. But the other pick
and you then had, Guardians Galaxy 2. Yeah. Guardians 2 definitely is a more flawed movie, I think, than the first one, which is why it's this low. But you still get so much of the camaraderie of these characters that works so well.
Is that you or your ego speaking? We can edit
another good point in Kurt Russell, who is just a masterpiece in everything that he's so choosy about roles these days, and everything he shows up in now he's just a delight in. So he was great in that role. And then, you know, Christian, you mentioned Michael Rooker, like when you're talking about Guardians 1, and oh my god, Yondu in this movie is like the ending and him, like all of it is just
his presence
in this movie is so good.
Yes. Cause you truly see like the hard choices that he had to make in order to, you know, which led to him being, you know, basically an outcast by the Ravagers, man. Like, so to me, like
that storyline's better than the storyline of the movie itself.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And to me, I can't lie. Like, and now every time I hear the word Mary Poppins, I'm thinking Yondu.
All right, Matt, you are on the board with the 17th pick.
All right. I've been kind of thinking through as we've been discussing and trying to figure this out. And I kind of, for the sake of what I so far, I've kind of steered more old school. I got Captain America, I got Spider-Man, I got Iron Man, Doctor Strange, and all of them together in Endgame. So I feel like just to round it out, I'm going to get the classic vote, and I'm going to go Thor.
Okay.
Which I don't love, but having all of them together, like the movie itself is fine. It has a lot of funny parts and like, you know, individual quirks of the character introduction that are funny. Like, I feel like the story of Thor falling in, on the earth and figuring everything out, like that's really entertaining. The lack of a real like villain and like, I don't really like, it's one of those movies I watch the first 45 minutes. And after that, I don't really know what's going on. And that's a rousing endorsement for my second to last pick, isn't it?
Yeah. Thor is, it's good. You know, you look back on it and a lot of the like first phase movies outside of like the original Iron Man and Captain America, like, I don't know. A lot of them are pretty forgettable at this point, but like.
Training wheels.
Yeah.
Setting things up. Like you had to have the obligatory of here's Thor, here's how he shows up, and then we can launch into Ragnarok at the end and say like, oh, here's the complete character, which they completely ruined by the time we get to Endgame, and I hate that. Like my biggest criticism of Marvel MCU is what they did with Thor. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. But that aside, setting it up, the intro piece, you got to have it.
All right, Christian, your last two picks, 18 and 19.
This is hard, man.
Yeah, it's a thin board at this point.
Yeah, thin. All right. So you said I have 18 and 19?
You can get a lot of Tony Stark.
No. So that was gonna be my 18th pick. It was gonna be Iron Man 2.
Okay.
So yeah, that's definitely a good one for me. 19th pick though. You know what? I'm gonna pull this out of the bag right now and just shock everybody. Because I was about to, I'm crossing off my list. I'm crossing this one off my list right now. I'm about to get, all right, so I'm going Iron Man 2. I'm going Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
I'm shocking the world right now.
You know, I can see that. It's not
But now, let's bring up this conversation right now. All right. Iron Man 2, I thought was good. Let's see, I'm trying to remember. I love what they did with, you know, with introducing Rhodey as War Machine, man. I love that whole thing.
And one of the recasting choices that really turned out to be a good one, because
Don Cheadle. I love Terry. Kind of obviously after watching Iron Man, you were excited because you saw that little thing. It's like, oh, not yet.
You knew War Machine was coming, but you
saw Don Cheadle like suit up next. But you know what? He did the role justice. Moving on. Overall good movie. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, if it's on, you might watch it. It's not really, as you said, Carter in the past. It's like, it's kind of, some moments are forgettable, but it's just overall.
Not appointment viewing.
Yeah. It's just,
but,
you know,
but
it's,
to be fair, how many MCU movies would you like instinctively just flip past?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Maybe the last couple, two or three.
Yeah.
Whatever Carter drafts.
If the one that should be last on our list, I know for sure. Like, if it's on, I'm definitely going
to
watch it.
After this, once we get to the final.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, overall good movie. Next one, I took this one out of the board because, honestly, this Incredible Hulk, this came out 2008, just like Iron Man, right after Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
This film, I absolutely loved because I'm a huge Ed Norton fan.
Okay.
I think it's actually kind of a shame that we never got to see his Hulk continue on. I know there's huge debate about, you know, Ed Norton's Hulk versus Mark Ruffalo's Hulk. I have nothing but love for Mark Ruffalo and his portrayal of the Hulk. He's done a fantastic job. For some reason, I love this Hulk more. I don't know what is it. Maybe it's just the ferociousness about this Hulk. Maybe it's just like the fact that they took this story and they didn't give us they straight away from the jump while we're like being introduced to like, you know, the cast and stuff like that. And pre-movie credits, we're literally being thrown into Bruce Banner and the accident and stuff like that. So they're just like straight up skipping into it. Cause I think Marvel, they knew it's like, you know, Eric Bana's version was terrible. We're not going to talk about that. It's like, Ang Lee's
finest moment.
Ang Lee is an amazing director, but brother, that was not your finest moment. I saw that movie I took my friends to watch that for one of my birthday parties when I was growing up, and my dad asked for money back. That's how bad it was. we're all kids. Like, I wasn't even 10 years old, and like I'm looking at this movie like, this is not good. You know what I mean? But just to me, there was so much potential with the characters that we had in that movie, man. Like the way that they did the fight between Hulk and the Abomination. Like, to me, that is one of my favorite like fight scenes in all the MCU, and particularly because you actually just get to see like the iconic Hulk smash, like the way that he talks when he's fighting is like, yeah, to me, like that's a scream like iconic Hulk. It's a shame. Like, yeah, they had creative differences, man. Like, I'm kind of sad that Ed Norton never really got to continue on, but yeah, a lot of people might not like that. I loved his portrayal of the Hulk.
It's one that I feel like I need a rewatch for, because I think you're right in that a huge part of the reason that we have kind of collectively forgotten this movie is because of the casting change. Yes. Like, it's the only like principal role of the whole series that's been recast. And I think that's a huge part of the reason it doesn't really get its due.
Yes.
Cause it's like, there's a lot of like Liv Tyler was great as Betty in that movie. Yeah. And like, we got a great, is it William Hurt? I think plays Thunderbolt Ross, who shows up later on and is a recurring character. Like, yeah. Like it was you a really well cast movie.
Tony was in the post credit scene.
Yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm. We're all thinking, oh, here we go. Nah. Hit the brake.
I think the casting change and then just the tie in, it being so early in the series before leading up, as you built into the, you know, putting in Iron Man and Captain America and all those pieces. Like, I feel like the Hulk was kind of probably like kind of underdeveloped, and in that movie, like with it being like Ed Norton, like it's an Ed Norton movie. Yes. Like if you like Ed Norton, like,
oh, you're gonna,
like,
love it.
You love it. Or, and if you're like, I don't know, then it goes to, I don't know, this is being drafted at the bottom of the list. I don't know. I didn't. And so when Disney Plus came out, right, we got it and we went through and rewatched all the Marvel movies. And watching through this one, I'm like, I had completely forgotten it. I'm like, have I ever seen this? I'm like, yes, I've seen it. This is silly. Of course you've seen it. But, you know, it didn't fit in the MCU.
Yeah.
When I watched it. And it still really doesn't. And then that's not saying that like it in itself is inherently like not a good movie. Like it's entertaining. Like the fight sequence and like the whole, you know, chemical, you know, not like battle of that, the scientific piece wheeling at it. And how does that work? Like, that's really interesting. But just like, I don't get the tie-in of how it fits with the rest of the MCU.
True.
All right, Matt, your last pick, number 20, there are four movies left on the board. You are on the clock.
Nah, this is hard. I'm going to go with Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Which is tricky for me, but I don't have any Ant-Man left. And I like Paul Rudd. And there was a lot about this. And I think this, you know, kind of one of the things that we talked about with Captain Marvel, this coming in, Ant-Man and the Wasp, at the end of everything, kind of at the point was kind of like, okay, get me to the next point. I want to get past it. But going back and rewatching it, you're like, oh, this technology is really cool. I wonder how it could come in use. Mm-hmm. And it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Paul Rudd. It's just as funny as he was in the first one.
Yeah, it's definitely a movie that felt awkward. You know, we've talked a lot about some of these that, like, where they fell in the order of the series kind of influenced how you felt about them. And this one was so awkward coming out between Infinity War and Endgame. Because it definitely kind of felt like, yeah, it just felt like, what are we doing here? Why am I watching an Ant-Man movie right now when I just watched, you know, Tom Holland say, I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. Like, it felt so out of place viewed as a part of the series. But, like, I don't know, in a lot of ways, it's just a kind of, like, it's a lot like the first movie, which was a very good movie. Yep. It's just, like, not quite as good, but, like, it's still really entertaining. And I don't know.
You didn't fall in love with Ant-Man, or I didn't, as the character in the same way that you quite did with, like, Guardians. Like, that collection of individuals. Like, there's nothing about, like, Paul Rudd, like, is a great supporting character and makes the rest of everything go well. But him by himself, like, I can see how it can get lost.
Yeah, for me with that movie, it really had a forgettable villain. Like, there was no, like...
You
no...
say this, and I'm like, wait, who was
that? my point stands. It was Ghost.
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of those things. It just wasn't heart-wrenching backstory. But forget at the end of the day, forgettable. It's like, you know, she redeemed herself in the end, and it's just like, it's kind of she goes off with Lawrence Fishburne's character, and I'm just like, I forget him. I forget his name.
Oh, Lawrence Fishburne was in that movie, wasn't he?
Yes, exactly. Like, little things like that. Like, when you don't rewatch a movie, it's like, oh my goodness, like, I miss this character. It's true. It's just one of those things where it's just like, no, it's entertaining. It's just really Paul Rudd makes it. Evangeline Lilly, I love her character. I love her as Wasp. And then again, your boy Luis coming through again with the storytelling. It's just like, it's one of those things that comes with, you know, an Ant-Man movie. So it's entertaining. Again, entertaining, but
on par to be drafted right next to the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have the last pick, and there are three choices left. And I think two of them fall very much into the paradigm of what we've been discussing with a lot of these recent picks, is that they're perfectly fine. It's just that they're not memorable. Like, so it's Iron Man 3 and Thor: The Dark World. It's like, I don't know, Thor: The Dark World is almost universally agreed to be the worst one. And I don't think it's an actively bad movie. It's just like, I remember nothing about it.
That's the thing, like, that of all the movies, it is the most forgettable.
Yeah. And I kind of think Iron Man 3 is the same way. Well, I don't know. Iron Man 3 has some things that are actively bad about it. So, like,
clarify. before we get into breaking down the pros or cons of the bottom of the list, your pick is Ultron?
My pick is Ultron.
Okay. Yeah. Barry in the lead.
So, yeah. So the other two are very, I don't know, I guess, I think for some people, Iron Man 3 is a little more, so I think some people like Iron Man 3 better than they like 2, which I don't, but like, I don't know. It's just like, I remember nothing about it. Like, I at least remember some vague things about 2 with like, you know,
rewatching Iron Man 3. And one of the things is this is Tony Stark dealing with anxiety. Yeah. And I feel like because of what? That's exactly what's going on. Yeah. And it's interesting because like, especially like when the conversation in not to get, you know, too out of the box, but the conversation of mental health in America, like is only recently, I feel like in the past handful of years, starting to take off. And when that movie came out, it wasn't really, I don't know, at the forethought, the forefront of, you know, a lot of conversations. And it was really interesting to me, like to see a character that has already been built up as invincible.
Yeah.
Like he's not, but he can fix it. And yeah. to face himself is really the villain in that movie.
That human side of him really comes out in this movie.
It's uncomfortable to watch. This is why when you watch, you don't want to flip it on and just entertain you. But like as a movie itself, like you kind of, I'm not a superhero or a technical genius, but I kind of empathize and I'm like, oh, you know, even heroes are normal. Like, so no, it has a lot of redeeming points.
Yeah.
You making that comment about the anxiety. It literally clicked in my mind of his conversation when he was like talking to the kid. It's like, yep, that's it. You freaked me out. I'm just like, oh my goodness.
and that's the kid that shows up in the end game sequence, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and that's at the point where they tie that in. I was like, oh, potential
plan.
But you have to defend Ultron because I might argue for that. It's down with Dark World.
So Ultron is a bad movie in a lot of ways. Like, let's just get that out of there. Like, there's a reason it's this low. Like, there are so many things about it that just don't, like, the whole, like, very weird plot about, or part where Nat's like, I'm a monster too because I can't have children. I'm like, all right, well, that's problematic in a whole lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, it's an awkward mess. Like, the whole, first of all, turning Clint into a family man, which I have a lot of feelings more now that I've like read a lot of Hawkeye comics. If you read one comic, read Matt Fraction and David Ayer's Hawkeye run from like 2012. It is a masterpiece.
Okay.
But like that was a weird choice to begin with, and we wasted poor Linda Cardellini in the MCU by having her play Clint's wife coming out of nowhere. So many weird things about it. What redeems it for me are, it's got great action sequences with like the Hulkbuster and then the final sequences with Ultron. And then Ultron is like not a great villain, but James Spader is just so much fun, just like absolutely chewing every possible piece of the scenery as Ultron. Like, it's entertaining in a way that's like, like, I'll still watch Ultron when it's, like, if Ultron's on, I'll be like, okay, I'll watch this for, like, Spader being ridiculous and, like, some fun fight scenes.
I like Spader, man. He's good.
Yeah.
I like him. I feel like it could have been the comedic elements whenever it was, like, you know, he tried to, like, joke around and stuff, like, whenever Ultron tried to joke around, it was a little cringe. Just a little tad bit.
Yeah. That was
kind of like, oh, it's like, you know, it's, oh, the robot is trying to make sense of human emotion and a human emotion called laughter. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Good for you.
A lot of parts of that movie are cringeworthy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's the most forgettable, because even Dark World, like, it might be the worst quality movie, but like Ultron, I completely forget it exists.
Yeah, I'm mad about it.
There are a lot of criticisms you can level at Ultron. like, if you were to say, like, it's just straight up trash, it's more trash than it's forgettable, I think. All right, well, that's our draft.
The other one, Dark World.
Do we really have to talk about it?
there's ether, and it's a thing. But it's also a stone, but it's not. And I gotta be honest, when I went and rewatched them, I like they got to the scene where what's her character? That's getting like infected with the ether or whatever.
Jane Foster,
of course. Wow, that's a big one. I just kind of like did like the double take while it was happening, and I'm like, wait, how did we get here? I was just like, I'm like, okay, I get all the pieces coming together now, and you got to beat it. And good, I just got to that point. I was like, the last hour and a half of the movie, I don't remember what happened.
No one blames you.
No.
All right. I'm going to take a quick second to put these teams together.
Say, I got everything pulled up, I believe. Let's see. Do we want to go in order? Whose pairing do we want first? I guess Christian had the first pick.
Yeah. So let's go. So your team was Infinity War, Guardians, Avengers, Civil War, Ant-Man, and Iron Man 2.
Ooh. And Incredible Hulk.
Solid.
Oh, and the Incredible Hulk. Yeah.
Just already forgetting about it.
I already forgot about it. And then Matt, you had Endgame, Iron Man, First Avenger, Doctor Strange, Homecoming, Thor, and Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Pretty good.
And then for me, Winter Soldier, Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Far From Home, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Guardians 2, and Ultron. I'm very happy with my team. They're all, I think a lot of them are bold choices. Maybe not always the best choices in some instances, but bold choices, and I'm happy with that.
I think this is interesting because you definitely have more of the, I think, very bold, and mine are very much so safe. I have the original classics, and you've got Black Panther, Captain Marvel, you know, on the edge.
So those are here.
All right.
This is fun. Put this up. And we will a Twitter poll, which will, you know, is the only democratic way to decide things in America today.
Of course.
And we'll see what happens. And then maybe if nothing else, we'll have to go and rewatch some of these. You made redeeming points about Ultron. And now I'm like, I don't know. I gotta do my research.
If anything, I'm just saying, try to give Hulk a chance, man. That's my
Yeah, I need to give Hulk another chance. That's my dark horse
whole list.
Yeah, and right. It wasn't on Disney Plus. Like, you had to go like rent it off like YouTube.
Oh, no, darn Universal.
Oh yeah, that's a weird right situation.
I know. It's like, because I don't even know if Disney technically has the rights to Namor yet. Because I think that's like,
I guess for those purposes, he's principal. Well, now I mean they own 21st Century Fox now, so I guess they do. Uh-huh. But I guess Namor is principally considered a mutant. So like,
Namor was the one that I think is still tied in with the whole Hulk thing with Universal. For so I think they had his rights for some,
that's
for
some weird. Reason.
Yeah. So I'm just like, we're gonna see.
Let's see. I would think of him, he would be either a Fantastic Four villain / anti-hero or a mutant, both of which he is.
Yeah.
That's a weird situation.
Yeah, that's like, there's an asterisk by his name with rights, so we'll see how it goes. But I can't. Yeah, I think we're gonna be all right with the MCU in the future, honestly. Whenever movie theaters start to open.
Yeah. I don't know what they're gonna do about, because you know they have the rights to the X-Men now, so I don't know what.
You think it might be like a phase? You think we're gonna see like a little like a snippet of maybe a character introduction in Phase 4?
Yeah.
Or you think we're gonna totally wait till Phase 5?
I don't know. That's I've like it. Just they're so far in now that it almost doesn't like. It's gonna be a bit of a mess, probably whatever way they decide to do it.
You're gonna have another Hulk. And then you'll get to the rest of the
space. All right. Well, we'll cut this recording off before we decide to ramble on too much longer. But thanks to those of you who stuck it out with us. Please vote in the coming Twitter poll. And we'll see you later. And Rice Fight.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.